Thanks, guys. So, today we're going to continue the series, talking about James 4. But I think the first thing to do is do a previously on James, which is the first thing to do. So Molly reminded us, hopefully, about the direct nature and how we should consider challenges pure joy, which is pretty direct. And then Bob talked about actions speaking louder than words. Faith without actions is dead. Matt talked about being careful about what we say, because the tongue is like a rudder. But we all make mistakes, otherwise we'd all be perfect. And I'm sure we're all aware we're not. So we're in a season of transformation. And all we've been talking about has been transforming our minds and our lifestyle to be more like Jesus, which is amazing. And I'm going to run through James 4, or at least part of it, which is a book which parallels with Proverbs in the Old Testament. It's snappy, it's real, and it's to the point. And hopefully I will be too. So if you enjoyed this, then you know, go and check out Proverbs if you haven't before. So hopefully I'll pull out a few strings to do with humility and to do with serving only God, not having two masters. It also features the new game, which is how many balls is too many balls? You'll see in a few minutes' time. But before we get there, we'll go through a little bit of my little preparation before starting. I Googled humility is, and one of the websites that came up, what have I got? Yeah, one of the websites that came up, I think it was fourth in the list, was as follows. How humility will make you the best person ever. Nice one, internet. Real humble. So, that was kind of the silly one. It's kind of reflects the it's all about me kind of aspect of what the world thinks. But yeah, moving on to the more serious ones. The other quotes were, the first one was from Leo Tolstoy. Had to Google who that was. It was the author of War and Peace. Yeah. Sorry for being ignorant. And it goes, perfection is impossible without humility. Why should I strive for perfection if I'm already good enough? So I think that's pretty good contrast from what the world says about people today. It's all about you do you, and you're perfect as you are, baby. So humility is a dying art, and I think we as Christians are called to live humbly. So like Bob said a couple of weeks ago, live differently to the world, and they all notice the difference. And the next quote I found is a good one, I think. I think a lot of people like this guy. So it's C.S. Lewis, and it's, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less, which again is in contrast to what the world thinks about what we should do. So yeah, there's a couple of quotes from what people in the world are thinking. I think I agree with a couple of those, maybe not with the first one. So let's go and read James 4. So, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. That's a bit from Proverbs. So James is referencing direct from Proverbs, kind of why I think that's kind of why he's kind of mirroring that in the rest of it. So verse 7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn and wail, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on our business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So yeah, I think part of the bit I want to talk about today is that bit around verse 7, which is, like I said before, humility and serving, or not serving, two masters. So the first thing is serving two masters. So I used to play an old video game. Some of you more geeky ones might know it. It's called Civilization. Nice. yeah, so one of the quotes from that, it was read by Leonard Nimoy. Some of you might know him. And the quote is, if you chase two rabbits, you will lose them both. Which I thought, it was quite kind of deep at the time. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I never thought I'd use that in a preach. So James was talking about being double-minded. And earlier in James 1, which Molly covered, James, I think it's verse 8 in James 1, he says, double-minded is unstable and unhelpful. It's just saying, well, like chasing two different things, you're going to lose them both, and it's not very helpful. So there are a lot of things that distract us from what God wants to do in our hearts and our lives and our minds. So we need to be humble like a child, which Matthew 18:4, be humble like a child. So I think the thing, oh yeah, look at distraction. I forgot about that one. So let's demonstrate and play a game. So if we go to the next one, how many balls is too many balls? This is too many balls. The dog doesn't think so though. He's got just enough. You could always have more there. So anyway, if we go to the next one, so the rules are simple. Throw catch. How hard can it be? So I need a couple of volunteers, people who think they're remotely good at catching. Boys? Yes, Joel, Sam? Come on then. Might as well have Victoria as well, as soon as you put your hand up. Come on. Yes. Okay, we've got a few fluorescent balls. I'll just move these out of the way. Okay, boys, go and stand at the front. So, Victoria, if you could stand here for a moment. Okay, Joel and Sam, if you stand up at the front, you know, front and center. Make sure everyone can see you. Okay, so what I want you to start off with doing is just throw one ball to each other, you know, just between you. Yeah, nice and easy. That's great catching. You guys should be proud of that. I mean, yeah, stay humble. So, now Joel, pick up the other ball. Now throw both balls. Ooh. Oh, nice, I like it. Good stuff. All right, okay, so that's good. You're focusing on two things at once. They're going in the same direction. Easy peasy. Right then, now, Joel, if you give a ball to Victoria, and Sam, you stand in the middle. Joel, you stand the other side. Sam, stand in the middle. Yep. Okay, now what's going to happen is, Joel, come this way a bit. Give him a chance, man. Give him a chance. Come on. Right, okay, so Joel and Victoria are going to gently throw the balls at Sam. And Sam is going to catch them. Okay, so we throw it on one at the same time. So, 3, 2, 1. He's got it. Right, let's try again. Here we go. Let's illustrate the point, guys. On go, throw the balls. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Okay, thanks, guys. You can collect the balls and sit down. Thank you. Oh, I'll have that one. Yeah, very good. Okay, round of applause for our lovely volunteers. Thank you very much. Woo. Okay, so as you saw there, it's pretty, you know, it's easy to catch one thing at a time. It's a little bit more difficult to catch two things at a time. And it's pretty impossible. I mean, Sam managed to do it, so well done, mate. You managed to catch the first one. They were a little bit not at the same time, though, because they gave you a chance. Yeah. Don't take it away. So yeah, catching two things at once, going in opposite directions, is really hard. So if you chase two rabbits, you'll lose them both. So the point here is chasing two things is hard. Two things going in opposite directions is pretty impossible. If you only chase after God, you'll find all his good gifts on the way and in his arms. So how many things in our life are distracting us from God's purpose? For our purposes and plans for us. I'll give you a moment to think about that before I move on. So, like as Jesus says in Matthew 18:4, be humble like a child, and then be only follow one master, be single-minded in your serving of God. So the next thing I'd like to talk about is humbling ourselves before God. So to give you a bit of background here, there was a chap called Ahab, not Captain Ahab, Moby Dick style-y. This is King Ahab, who was a king of Israel back in the bad old days of kings. So this was Elisha sort of time. And essentially, he was a pretty questionable guy. He married a pagan called Jezebel. Jezebel's name actually means chaste, which is free from carnal connection. So you would have thought idol worship, you know, by the meaning of her name, would have kind of been far from what she wants. But it's kind of ironic. It's a bit of God's humor there. So, yeah. So she was a priestess of Baal. And she came from a people called the Phoenicians, who considered Jehovah, as in God of Israel, as God of the land, but not as God of the sea. Which is kind of, I find it really impressive that the Bible and God has weaved this story about God's power. Because when Jesus walks on the water and calms the storm, he's actually saying, "In your face, Baal, I am God of everything." I just thought that was a really cool little bit of imagery there. So anyway, Ahab is this pretty bad guy, married to a bad wife, and Elijah comes up and calls him out and says, "You're really bad. Stop being bad." And Ahab goes, "Oh, okay then, I've been bad." And then he tears his clothes and he goes into this sort of depression and humbles himself before God. And as it says in 1 Kings 21:29, he was spared much calamity. So God mercifully does not destroy Ahab's house or his family until after his death, which is just as they were terrible for generations before and after Ahab. So Ahab chose an outward show of sadness to go with an inward feeling of humility and repentance. God saw that and rewarded him for it. The point is, how much more will God forgive us when we humble ourselves and accept Jesus' sacrifice if Ahab, the idol worshiper, can receive mercy like that? So where Ahab showed his humility inside and out, the Pharisees in Jesus' time only showed it on the outside. So being clean inside and out. So washing hands was a tradition of the Pharisees. As David said a few weeks ago, the Pharisees wouldn't eat without washing their hands. But Jesus emphasizes that is only part of the message. It is both inside and out that he is bothered about. So in Mark 7:1-5, he talks about that, that tradition. And then in Matthew 23:25, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides," this is my favorite bit, "you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside will also be clean." So Jesus has shown his humor a little bit. If you did the character course recently, then it will have been highlighted to you the ridiculous nature of some of Jesus' humor. So he's saying, you pick out a little gnat for me to drink, but there's a camel there that you've just swallowed you're missing the point. Because the Pharisees were essentially giving all these expensive tithes, but their morals were cheap. They didn't practice justice, mercy, and faith. And I mean, this is a bit of my ridiculous sense of humor, but I'm just imagining Jesus doing a bit of a rap battle with these Pharisees and absolutely slamming them. And the Pharisees afterwards are just like, oh man, have we got burned? I thought about doing a bit of a rap battle, but I don't think the world is ready for this talent. Thanks, Vic. So anyway, the main point, rap battles aside, is humble yourself before God, inside and out. Inside and the outside will sort itself. So I'm going to start drawing it to a close. And essentially, there's three things that I want you to think about, which is, if you have any pride except in the Lord, it glorifies God when we humble ourselves and repent. I'm not saying rip your clothes off in church. Well, I am, but only figuratively. Please remain clothed, everyone. It's okay to be sad, mourn, and take action inside and out. Not like a Pharisee, only on the outside, or often like I do, like a stereotypical Brit, just not at all. Put the kettle on and wait for it all to blow over. We need to do this. Be transformed. Turn away from those things that are not Christ-like. That said, C.S. Lewis said, we don't need to be parading around saying we're the worst of all, but we do need to be real. So let's get real with God. Be like David, who gave God what for in the Psalms. Tell him how you really feel, and you will get real back. God will show you more than you could imagine. It's time to get real with him. The second point is, how often have we fought in a relationship because things didn't go our way, or we wanted something that someone else had? Are we so prideful that we judge another person? We need to swallow that up and leave it to God to do that judging. Humble yourself and draw near to God. We need to forgive and admit that we all make mistakes. We're not perfect, just like Matt said last week. Sometimes it isn't possible to forgive straight away, but it is possible to remember that that person is a child of God, and God loves them just the way they are. It's time to get real with each other. The third one is, if you are one of those people who feels like you are serving two masters, are you trying to catch two balls at the same time? Are those balls going in the opposite directions? These could be anything. If you're here today, it could mean that you've been dragged here by a persistent friend or family member and you're just trying to placate them. Or it could mean that you're trying to walk right by God. But what do we do the rest of the week? What are we watching at night? What do we spend our money on? What do we boast about? What do you do when there aren't any church people around? If you serve two masters, neither will be happy. So pick one. I'd say pick the one which gives you eternal life and life in its fullness. But what do I know, eh? Oh, you could also take it from, hundreds of people around the, well, in the room, hopefully, and also thousands of people around the world. It's not always, it's an easy choice in your mind, but it's not always an easy choice to do. So lay it down today. We're going to have the prayer team there, so go and see the prayer team. Make sure that you tell someone that you're struggling so that they can help you. It's time to get real with our struggles. So be humble. No one is perfect. So we'll finish in prayer. So I've always wanted to say this, but prayer team assemble. So if the prayer team could make their way over to the prayer banner. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry to spring that on you. So if we're able, can we all stand? And we'll have a bit of an outward and inward response. So if anyone feels like those three things, any of those three things applies to them, then I would encourage you to respond in your heart. And then with the prayer team afterwards, because it's really important that we don't just do it in our hearts. We have to make ourselves accountable to each other so that we have some real change and some lasting change. If you don't respond to any of that, then look at the rest of James 4 and ask God what he wants you to do with the rest of it. So, I'll pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak your word today. Thank you for everyone who came taking the time out for you. Thank you for your word and your tremendous relationship with us. Father, we ask that you would bless us in being humble. Remind us to do so and convict us where we need it. Lord, help us to be real with you. Help us to always keep our heart clean with you, be honest with you, and come with humility. Asking for everything from our Heavenly Father. Lord, help us to be real with each other, to be humble in relationships, quick to forgive, always remembering that all people are your children and you love them all. Lord, help us to be real with our struggles, to be humble and not hide behind closed doors, but to help each other through tough times. Father, we love your word. I pray that everyone who needs prayer will have the courage to come over to the prayer team or their life group leaders, or the person they came with this morning, and receive prayer, receive your peace, and receive your grace. Father, we're sorry for the times when we have been prideful and wanting our own way over yours. We repent of those times and humble ourselves before you, serving only you. Let your kingdom come and your will be done. Amen.